Nadia Bolz Weber calls for a sexual reformation in her latest book, Shameless. How does her reformation compare with the truths rediscovered during the 16th century Reformation? I've written a review of Shameless in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Andrew Abraham details his journey from Catholic priest to Lutheran pastor. The free online Issues Etc. journal. That's the hymn, Praise the One Who Breaks the Darkness, sung by the Children's Choir at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. The last line there of that stanza, calming storms and feeding thousands with the very bread of peace. Think about that for a moment. We read about Jesus calming the storms, and we take it for granted. He's Jesus. He's God. He can do this thing that only God can do. But put yourself in the position of the disciples who witness this and watch this man standing before them, able with a word to calm a storm, to control the weather, to change things like that at such an earthly level. And he does it not only to demonstrate his divinity, but he does it for other reasons as well. He actually cares about these men, his disciples. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson today, Jesus Calming the Storm in Mark chapter 4. Pastor Tom Baker will be our guest. We'll be talking about raising children and the golden rule with Matthew Cochran. He has a recent Federalist article says, you're not following the golden rule if you're not having children. Then Pastor Paul McCain joins us to continue our series on the Lutheran Confessions. We're in Luther's Small Catechism. We'll be wrapping up our discussion of holy baptism with the power and the significance of baptism. Joining us to talk about the calming of the storm in Mark chapter 4 as we teach a Sunday school lesson, Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Why are the disciples so astonished? They're astonished by a lot of things Jesus does, but I think they got used to the healings and the demon possessions and things like that. Why are they astonished at Jesus being able to control the weather?
They are not yet aware of the fact that he is the promised Messiah. We need to make a distinction between the author Mark and how he writes about Jesus and how the disciples came to assert that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God. In the very first verse of Mark, Mark says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's the Messiah, the Son of God. But it isn't until chapter 8, verse 29, that the disciples make note that Jesus is the Son of God, and that's Peter, when Jesus asks, who do men say that I am? Thou art the Christ. And that's the first time that happens. And in fact, last week we were talking about Thomas, and when he saw Jesus, you'll remember he said, my God and my Lord. That is the first time that any of the apostles refer to Jesus as God. Now, once we get out of the Gospels into the epistles, the Apostle Paul and the other epistle writers, there's no problem at all in speaking of Jesus as God. So we need to recognize this is early in Mark. It's only chapter 4. And yes, they've had a lot of tremendous events that they have seen, but to calm a storm is really beyond their thinking that Jesus would have power over creation. They had not yet come to understand what the Gospel of John says in the first chapter, that nothing was made in all of creation that was not made by Jesus Christ. And therefore, to control that which he makes is no problem at all for God. But the disciples were still pretty slow in recognizing who he was. And that's kind of a theme of the gospel according to St. Mark, how long it took them to finally have their eyes opened.
So tell us this account from Mark chapter 4 of Jesus calming the storm.
Yes, Jesus has completed speaking some parables, and it says, on that day when evening came, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side," referring to the Sea of Galilee. So they left the western side of the sea, and this is occurring before they reach the eastern side of the sea, which is more Gentile region than any other place. And the story right after this one that really happened is Jesus healing a man with demons who go into the pigs, and guess what? They drown in the lake. So the folks aren't too happy with Jesus. But this storm occurs on their voyage over there. And so they left the crowd. They took him with them in the boat as he went, and other boats were with him. So it's clear that it wasn't the only boat traveling across the Sea of Galilee, but all of the disciples and Jesus appeared to be in one boat. And it says, a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat that the boat was already filling. And so you could understand that, boy, you would think everybody would be trying to get the water out of the boat in case it would overturn. But verse 38, but he, that's Jesus, was in the stern of the boat, asleep on the cushion. So here Jesus is sleeping. And this leads a lot of people to think, you know, when I'm in some deep trouble, it appears that Jesus sometimes is sleeping. In fact, when Elijah was making fun of the prophets of Baal, and their god Baal wouldn't put on fire the altar or even the sacrifice, he said, well, maybe he's just sleeping. And he made fun of their god, and still nothing happened until God put on fire Elijah's sacrifice and altar. At any rate, the disciples, thinking, of course, earthly things, they wake him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Now, this is interesting because this is also what Martha said to Jesus. Remember, he went to visit them, and Mary was listening to his Bible study, and Martha was trying to get a meal together. And she says to Jesus, "Do you not care, you know, that Mary isn't helping me?" And so Martha really isn't just blaming Mary. She's blaming Jesus, just as the disciples. Now, the same idea of care can be used in a positive sense. The disciples at one time tell Jesus, "We know you do not care about anybody's opinion." And so it depends on the context whether Jesus seems to be caring or not. But in this one, they think they are perishing. The disciples say to Jesus, "Do you not care?" And he awoke, and then the next word is really interesting. He rebuked the wind, said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Now, if you go to Psalm 106, verse 9, here's what it says about God and the Red Sea. He rebuked the Red Sea, and it became dry, and he led them through the deep as through a desert. So what we have here is God at the Red Sea and Jesus as God at the Sea of Galilee, rebuking that which he, of course, had created, showing that he has great power over all of creation. Job 26 also talks about this. God stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the peoples. That's actually from Psalm 65. Job says, by his power, he stilled the sea. And then a Psalm 107, for God commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. So it's not an accident that that storm was occurring. There is nothing that happens in the world that God is not aware of and in control of. And why would he do this, scaring the disciples? Because it is providing us a wonderful biblical event that helps us also in the storms of our life to know that God is never going to leave us. He never really is asleep, even though he appears to be at times, and he keeps his promises that all things will work out to our good. So God is not only the cause of stilling the storm, but according to Psalm 107, he commanded and raised the stormy wind and lifted up the waves of the sea. And this moved the disciples to have the impression that Jesus didn't care about them because he wasn't taking care of the terrible wind and water coming into the boat.
We're talking about Jesus calming the storm in Mark chapter 4. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. We'll talk a little bit more about Jesus being asleep after this.
Who was it, everybody? It was Jesus. Who was it, everybody?
It was Jesus.
It was Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Concordia Publishing House's Spring Warehouse Sale is both online and in store. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on Issues Etc. from Friday, May 3rd through Monday, May the 6th. You'll find major cost savings on books, music, Bibles, educational resources, and more. Concordia Publishing House's Spring Warehouse Sale, cph.org, and 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. Concordia Publishing House's Spring Warehouse Sale, May 3rd through the 6th.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Sanctifying your child rearing with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Are you on the road to paradise in the southern Puget Sound area of western Washington, but looking for a traditional liturgical Lutheran congregation in classical Lutheran elementary school? Parkland Lutheran Church and School in Tacoma, a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Synod, is the place to find our Savior's rest on Sunday mornings and Monday evenings. Visit our website at parklandlutheran.org for service times and downloadable sermons. Preaching, teaching, and distributing Christ and Him crucified every week.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Tuesday, April the 30th, we are teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel, Jesus Calming the Storm in Mark chapter 4. You talked earlier about Jesus being asleep at the beginning of this incident. He obviously is tired. His disciples seem to be, as you said before the break, they seem to be concerned that Jesus doesn't care because he would sleep through this thing that they obviously think they need some, at least human help. But Jesus sleeping, while we're told that God himself neither slumbers nor sleeps, but is ever watchful, kind of introduces us into the mystery of the incarnation, doesn't it?
Yes, and also the mystery of the Trinity, that at the same time that Jesus is asleep in the womb of Mary, etc., he still is king of all creation. He still is able to be everywhere, all knowledgeable, etc. And therefore, when he is on earth, at times he does not make use of his attributes. But I really want to hit something here that you mentioned, that Jesus was asleep. Let's say this was a Titanic. Would Jesus have been asleep on the Titanic? I do not think so. I think he would be trying to save the boat with the rest of the people and helping people into the lifeboats, etc. There was a reason that he was asleep and the disciples were not. And he mentions it. He first of all rebukes the sea. And then he rebukes the disciples. He says, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" Now, I think we need to be very careful at this because we don't want to use this to say that a Christian should never be afraid, that every time they are afraid, they are sinning. Jesus is accusing them of sin. So their fear here has to be more then they're just not going to be drowned. He says, "Have you still no faith?" Now, when we take a look at the word faith in the Bible, the object of faith is always, a saving faith, is always a promise from God. Therefore, what Jesus is saying to them, "Why are you so afraid in this boat that we're going to drown? Have you no faith?" Because Jesus, and who knows how much he had already told the disciples about this, it is clear that he could not possibly die on a boat in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. That's not what the Old Testament says. He's going to be pierced in hands and feet. He's going to be whipped. He is going to lay on him the iniquity of us all. He is going to be hung. That's why I believe Jesus asleep. He was not concerned at all about the wind and storm being so ferocious that it would drown him and his disciples. Later on, he talks about how he did not lose any of them but one, and here he had all of the disciples on the boat. So what is he accusing them of? He is saying to them, they also should be asleep on this boat, because the promises of God from the Old Testament can never mean that Jesus is going to die by drowning in a boat, even though the sea oftentimes was the housing for the devil himself. Jesus rebukes the sea, in a sense, rebukes the devil himself, but then he also rebukes the disciples when he says, "Have you still no faith?" Now, a lot of us have faith. I remember I took my two kids out on a boat on a lake once, and I didn't realize it had turned into a river. And normally it was shallow, but here it was really moving fast. And in the middle of the river, we got stuck on a branch coming up out of the water, and we were unable to move. And here I had my two little children and myself. I was afraid. And there was no way I would look at this verse and say, well, Tom, you should just lie down and go to sleep. No, I worked as hard as I could in trying to get the motor we had away from the branch back into open water so we could get back to the shore. And by God's grace, it did happen. I would never say to someone who is stuck in a situation where maybe they're in a concentration camp, maybe they're a martyr overseas in certain lands and they're going to be killed. I would never look at them and say, why are you afraid? Have you no faith? No. Jesus was afraid in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating almost drops of blood, it says. And what was he afraid of? Being forsaken by the Father. So being afraid is not a sin, but when it contradicts a promise from God, then it does become a sin. And I really believe that that's what Jesus is saying to the disciples. You too should be asleep because there's no way that we're going to drown in the water here. Have you no faith? And they look at him and they miss the point entirely. Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Well, if they had been a little bit more studious of the Old Testament, they would realize it was none other than God himself in the person of Jesus Christ, as it is found throughout the Old Testament.
They actually end up shifting this object of their fear from the storm to Jesus himself, but it seems perhaps a different kind of fear than fearing for their lives in that storm. What are your thoughts there with a minute or so?
Yes, there's no doubt one could make the point that they feared God. Boy, if he's got this power over storm and sea, what's going to happen to me if I do die? What if I do perish here? How do I know I'm going to be saved? So who is this man? And I would say that's the fear on the part of a lot of people as they look toward death, and they do not realize that death, especially of the self, of the old Adam, is the path to hearing the gospel so that we are relieved of our concerns and our fears. Remember, the loss of fear and concerns occurs here on earth in the Holy Christian Church because this is the kingdom of God. And if you are in Christ, you can be comforted in every circumstance.
What is the simple law and gospel for the Sunday school children on Jesus calming the storm in Mark chapter 4?
Yeah, the simple law is we think that at times things are going so bad that Jesus is missing. And so we kind of blame him. What did I do to deserve this is a favorite stance of even some Lutherans. The gospel is, no, I am with where two or three are gathered in my name. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And the multitude of blessings connected to his death and resurrection on the cross belong to every Christian. And therefore, we can be comforted and not fear where there is no need for fear.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to Law and Gospel and to the Sunday School curriculum Growing in Christ at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tom, thank you.
And thank you.
The one thing that the Bible teaches, of the many things that it teaches, that is still almost universally accepted and affirmed is the Golden Rule. We're going to talk about the Golden Rule and raising children with Matthew Cochran right after this.
St. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, Panto te chairete, rejoice always, always rejoice. And the word he uses there is the same word which is used for grace, same root.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, talking about his presentation at the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
By grace you are saved by faith, and this not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. That's square one. And then Paul goes on to say, pray without ceasing and give thanks. Those all belong together. Rejoice, pray, and give thanks, all under the grace of Christ. The result is a deep joy.
You can meet and hear President Matt Harrison making the case for being joyfully Lutheran at the one and only 2019 Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org.
The living God is now defined by the living and risen Christ.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Do not fall away from the true God who died and rose again and lives for you.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
I believe in the Holy Spirit. Christians confess these words each week during the Divine Service. But have you ever wondered, who is the Holy Spirit? Join Curtis Giese, Jeffrey Oswald, Charles Geeshan, and others in the May issue of the Lutheran Witness as they consider the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Special highlights include a Bible study by Matt Richard and an original Pentecost hymn text by Mark Preuss. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
I'm delighted to be chairman of Preach the Word Project, a project of our Synod to strengthen the preaching of all of us pastors in the Synod. We know how eternally important that is.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Carl Fekencher talking about the new Preach the Word project.
So we've put together a program of 12 modules that will be coming out this year and over the next 3 years on a variety of preaching topics for pastors to do together with two other pastors, two guys they trust, two guys they feel comfortable with, written materials and very fine video quality materials that are now becoming available.
Preach the Word helps pastors work together to improve their preaching with several resources and by interacting with seminary professors and fellow preachers. Find out more at lcms.org/preachtheword. lcms.org/preachtheword. Preaching is challenging business. We all can use some fresh ideas. lcms.org/preachtheword.